I think the biggest question I ask myself is why it is so hard to treat cancer. I give up to try to cure it, right, or eradicate. But first we need to understand why it is so hard to treat cancer. So it's exactly the same why it is so hard to fight the war against terrorists, because we never kill all of them. Those that survive, they adapt very fast, not through a Darwinian evolution, but predisposed to learn. You know, when we kill 80% of terrorists in some way, or cancer cells, the surviving ones are not innocent bystanders that just happen to survive. They are not those that have mutations that make them more, you know, stronger and fitter, but they actually adapt actively to the perturbation that we use to kill the other cells. But essentially, it is a price we pay for a very complex development that we have evolved. And so it's kind of a leftover things that are not perfect.
And you have a very interesting way of describing it. You're using a landscape, aren't you? A landscape of possibilities with valleys and peaks, and cancer evidently occupies some of the previously unoccupied valleys in that landscape.
Yeah, so that's a metaphor that goes back to Waddington, who used his landscape to describe development. And the landscape gives us a lot of clues about that. The potential behaviors and the idea that when you treat cancer, you have always surviving cells, and those are actually more malignant. And so that's all predicted by the landscape model. And then we move more and more towards new valleys, these side valleys that are more and more away from the normal phenotype. And so I think that's a problem. So it's almost like entropy. We diversify them, we disperse them through this landscape, and then they go to new states and new phenotypes. And we know now that this landscape can be computed based on the gene network. And if you do so, then you will see that you have many, many more potential cell types, and we think that these potential never occupied cell types, when they're occupied, then they become cancer.
How did you come to find your model?
It's just a systematic search, so I'm not the first. You know, people have previously suggested that cell types are these valleys in this landscape, and one can mathematically show that. And Stuart Kaufman proposed long time ago that cancer cells could be those unoccupied attractors. And now we know, given what we know about the gene network, that there must be probably many, many unoccupied attractor states. And we also know that the beautiful thing about this is it opens the possibility that you could get cancer without mutations. And we have now a few examples for that. But mutations dramatically accelerate cancer.
How can you get cancer without mutations, according to the landscape model?
Essentially, development is trying to go down to the lowest valleys, and evolution has carved optimal paths to go down, but through some accidents you can get stuck further up in side valleys, so to speak. And to get to those side valleys, there are all kinds of ways to do, like you know, toxins. We know one third of carcinogens are not mutagens, and so chronic you know, injuries and stress can lead to cells being deviated from these highways down to the normal phenotypes. So, but mutations would just be a brutal deviation. So it's much more likely to achieve that through a mutation.
Does this landscape model have any predictive power?
Yeah, well, it explains a lot of things. It's supposed to predict, and that was the old idea by Stuart Kaufman, that one should be able to apply differentiation therapy, try to differentiate cancer cells back to these normal valleys or highways down to the normal states. And that is now become very popular with the idea of cancer stem cells. But it turns out that it's probably more difficult, because once you are in these side valleys, the path to the normal valley is just very, very rugged, and so it's probably harder than one thinks. So these are the qualitative properties that is predicted by this landscape model.
So do you think that the main power in this landscape model is to show to people from other disciplines just, you know, where cancer might lie and the possibilities?
So that was one original idea, a visualization of very abstract ideas. But then it turns out that it's much more than that, it's much more useful than that, because if you have a landscape, then that's a class of object with its own properties, morphologies, and that predicts a lot of constraints, whether something is possible or not. So it's more than a pedagogical visualization tool.
And what about any use in giving clues for treatment in the future?
So the landscape will be useful if you know everything about the molecular details of the gene network. And once we have that, then the idea of landscape will be very useful. As of now, we have just a more qualitative model that stimulates new ideas. For example, one is that a lot of these chemotherapy or attempts to kill tumors actually makes it worse. So you go farther away from the normal valleys.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.